You're listening to a 1FM podcast. It's that time again. I've got Steve on the line. It's time for another Whatever Happened To You. There, Steve?
Certainly am, Josh. How are you and the listeners tonight?
We're good. We are good. So how's your week been?
Yeah, not bad. It's been a bit wet and miserable, but apart from the weather, and I know things are going along okay. We'll get through.
That's good. Yeah, it's been a bit wet here too. But who are you going to talk about tonight?
Well, I'm just going to change the format a little bit. I'm not going to divulge who this is until about a couple of minutes in, and then I'll start giving you all the facts and figures.
Okay, this will be good.
And now, I took this particular lot of information from an American song critic, and he talked about this particular, it's an English group, and he talked about this particular English group back in 2008, prior to their induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And the facts are quite interesting, actually. And I'll go back to the beginning here. And they were the first time they appeared in the USA was on the Ed Sullivan Show on the 8th of March, 1964. And they sang their particular number one hit, which had actually knocked the Beatles' I Want to Hold Your Hand off number one in the UK. The Beatles had already made three appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show, so this particular group was the second English group to get on to Ed Sullivan's show, and they also appeared the next week also. And they were the first British group to actually tour in the USA. The Beatles did the first concert in Washington, but didn't actually tour until August 64. But this particular group, they began touring on the 25th of May 1964. So they preceded the Beatles by about 3 months. Between 1964 and 1966, this particular group had 15 consecutive top 40 US hit singles, and which was second only to the Beatles. They actually only had 12 in the UK, but they had 15 in the US. So for a British group to actually reach that particular mark of quite a remarkable achievement. They sold out a whole lot of US tours, and they played to a dozen sold out houses over 3 days, and they generated 30 hit singles before they finished up in 1970. Now, this particular group is called the Dave Clark Five.
Yes, I know them.
Yeah, and this particular song that they sang on the Ed Sullivan Show was called Glad All Over. This was their only number one song in the UK, but it was pretty big worldwide, as we'll find out later. Now, this particular group, if they didn't already realise how popular and successful they were, we'll find out a bit more about them and shows just how big they were for this period of time. They had their origins back in 1958 with Dave Clark, who was the leader of the group, and Rick Huxley, who was a guitar player. They backed a North London vocalist called Stan Saxon. Eventually, they made some changes to the group structure, and it finally settled with Clark on drums. Huxley moved to bass. A fellow by the name of Lenny Davidson was the lead guitar. Dennis Payton was the sax harmonica and second guitar, and Mike Smith, who was the lead vocal and the keyboard. As distinct from the Beatles' Mersey sound, the Dave Clark Five was promoted as having the Tottenham sound, featuring a loud and forceful and, in my words, a get-up-and-dance beat. And for most of their songs were songs that you could actually just move and twerk, move and rock and roll and do all sorts of things with it. There was nothing that they played that was all that slow. As distinct from the band management back in those days, Dave Clark was able to strike business deals which allowed him to produce the band's recording and gave him financial control. So he was well before his time, and after hearing some of the stories of some of the other groups and singers back in those days who had managers and all that and didn't receive the royalties and all the monies they should have, he was a man ahead of his time. And depending on who you believe, and there are a few different stories here, Clark didn't always play on the recordings. There's a secession drummer whose name was Bobby Graham, reported to be the man with the sticks. And also that someone else by the name of Ron Ryan wrote a lot of the songs which were credited to Clark and to Smith. Irrespective of that, it's the sound and the music they created which was the most important thing to the people listening. By 1967, the US popularity had waned, not surprisingly, because usually the lifespan of these groups is only 3 or 4 years, as we've seen in the past. but they managed to eke out some more hits in the UK until 1970. Now, Huxley, Davidson and Payton left and then were replaced by a couple of gentlemen by the name of Alan Parker and Eric Ford, and the band was called Dave Clark and Friends, which lasted another couple of years. Post-breakup, Clark set up a media company acquiring rights to Ready, Steady, Go, a 60s pops series in the UK. So he was a pretty smart operator by all reports. He wrote and produced Time, the musical, which featured Sir Laurence Olivier in his last performance.
Oh, wow.
And that was quite interesting, I thought. And from this, a two-disc vinyl album was released in conjunction with the stage production. Smith, the lead singer, he returned to performing after about 25 years and did two tours of the US with Mike, which was called Mike Smith's Rock Engine. There's a very sad tale relating to this fellow, though. He had a shocking fall near his home in 2003, which rendered him catastrophic injuries and it paralysed him from the waist down. And unfortunately, he passed in February 2008 from pneumonia. Two other members also had passed Payton from cancer in 2006 and Huxley from emphysema in 2013. Davidson, one of the other original members, he taught guitar at a school in Cambridgeshire for many years and still lives there. In 2014, Clark, still very busy, wrote, produced and appeared in and partly presented a documentary called Dave Clark 5 and Beyond, Glad All Over. And some people reviewing this thought it was a bit self-promoting and all that sort of stuff. I haven't actually seen it myself, so I'm not quite sure. I left the discography till last because I thought the success that this group had was quite phenomenal, based on the fact that most people would only ever think of the Beatles and perhaps the Stones. But reading from the top, and this one's from 1964 through to 67, and I'll read them in order of where they finished the top chart positions, UK, US and Australia. Beginning from 64, Do You Love Me, which was 30 in the UK and 11 in USA, and Glad All Over, which was 1, 3 and 3, Australia being the third one. Bits and Pieces, 2, 4 and 4, Can't You See That She's Mine, 10, 4 and 13. And a double side with that song was a song called Because, and that was in the same position. Reelin' and Rockin' was 24, 23 and 12. Catch Us If You Can, 5, 4 and 18. And Over and Over, 45, 1 and 24. And You Got What It Takes, 28, 7 and 46. And they had a lot of other songs which perhaps weren't as successful as that. And it's probably fair to say that they perhaps weren't as popular in Australia as the UK and the US, but they were still very prominent in Australia, and they were very well known. They also started, this will interest you, Josh, they also started a movie which was called Catch Me If You Can. Now, I know there was another movie called Catch Me If You Can, and that starred
Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks.
Yeah, DiCaprio. That was about an American fraudster.
Yeah, but this obviously was it about the band?
Yeah, 2002. But this one called Catch Me If You Can featured in 1965, featured the group in a movie about music and rock groups and all that sort of stuff. So I never actually bothered to watch it. So I think it was very much along the lines of probably those Elvis movies. One thing I might mention here, and I did actually have a look at their inauguration into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the person who did the speech before the induction was Tom Hanks.
Okay.
And I must say to most people, listeners, it's worth having a look at it. It's quite an interesting introduction. Tom Hanks was very much a Dave Clark 5 fan, and he and Dave Clark were quite close friends, evidently.
Well, he was in Catch Me If You Can.
That's correct.
Yes, but I know he actually directed a movie himself, Tom Hanks. What was it called? The Thing You Do. I'll have to look that up because it might have something to do with Dave Clark 5. It was about the music industry, and if he's a big fan, it might have something to do with Dave Clark 5. I haven't actually seen it.
No, okay.
Yeah.
This induction speaks, you can take it or leave it, but I think it's worth having a look at. I thought he was very good introducing them. And Dave Clark 5, I must admit, he looks a bit strange these days. He's got these weird-looking eyebrows. If you happen to see any recent pics of him or anything like that, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Oh, well, it's good that he's still alive.
Yeah. Well, he has survived. He's proved himself to be a very savvy and very shrewd business person outside of the actual pop group, the pop scene himself. So, yeah, that's it, Josh, and I've got some song choices, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm looking at photo now. He does have some strange-looking eyebrows, sort of.
Yeah, like whether they're manufactured or whether that's actually how he's turned out, I'm really not sure.
They do look like makeup. He sort of looks like a villain in a movie or something, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
They're very dark and very prominent.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's going for there, but it's good to know he's still well.
That's right. Well, he certainly is.
Yeah.
Now, my first song choice here, Josh, is Glad All Over, and when we come back, I might ask you for a couple of others. Thanks.
That was a great one, Glad All Over, 2 minutes 42. They're nice and short, the Dave Clark 5 songs. It's always sort of good to play just before the news because you can fit them in.
Well, that's good. I'm pleased about that.
Yeah, but I didn't realise how big they actually were, because when you were sort of talking about having so many hits, rivaling the Beatles, I was trying to guess. I was thinking the Kinks, perhaps the Turtles, but they weren't. They were American, so that ruled them out. I wasn't sure. I didn't think of Dave Clark Five.
No, well, it surprised me. Of course, I knew of them, but it surprised me that they were that big in America. It'll probably be bigger in America than they were in the UK.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing that they had so much success. So anything else you'd like to say about Dave Clark Five?
Well, I thought that was a very interesting story and a very shrewd business person, as we've discussed with Dave Clark, and a man ahead of his time. And I don't care whether he played on the music or not. He was evidently still a very proficient drummer, I might add, in light of what I said before. Whether those stories are true or not about whether he didn't always play on the recordings, I'm not 100% sure. But to me, the important thing was that the end product was pretty good, and I thoroughly enjoyed listening to them.
Yeah, great band. And thanks again, Steve, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks for that, Josh, and to all the listeners, stay out of the rain if it's still happening, and get some sunshine if you can. All the best.
Yes, take care. Thanks, Steve. You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.